Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Back to the conversation of realities of the day, or not. I'm Doug with Jennifer and Victoria on the air with a hello to Randy Sarbaca of Clarkston, Washington. Randy is a loyal listener to the Good Day program. Happy to have you connected to us. You can connect on Twitter, constant feed at Good Day Show. Conversation there, facebook.com/Good Day. There's the story of a man in Wisconsin today in serious trouble. After charges that he drove drunk in reverse down a major highway. Report is that Daniel Nordell of Appleton pulled over when officers say that they saw him going backwards at 40 miles an hour.
It's a dead giveaway every time.
Make matters worse, they said that he smelled of alcohol. Can you imagine? He has, though. This is where it gets serious. It's kind of silly to this point. This guy has been convicted 12 times of
so
drunk
sad.
Driving in 10 years.
How does he still have a license?
Well, that's the question.
Does he? I mean, you know, does that matter to someone who's in trouble all that, you know, all those times?
Well, you know, we have all of these problems. Here's one that's even worse. Story of Ronnie Paul Hobgood, who has now relinquished control of his destiny, perhaps for good. This guy is a six-time loser, arrested for driving while intoxicated in February, 45 years old. He has been in jail five times, various periods since 1990. He has already killed one person. He has five convictions that led to his having two 18-month convictions or stints in prison. Now, in Montgomery County, Texas, this is an area north of Houston, typical area outside these big cities that have dangerous roads, and a prosecutor has gone after this guy with one of the toughest DWI penalties in the state's history. The lawyer for Mr. Hobgood told the newspaper his client knew his fate was sealed. His demeanor was like that of a soldier as he stepped in front of the judge. He knew he was going away, and he had every confidence that he would be able to survive in prison. But listen to this. This guy, as I said, been in and out of various problems. He was on parole at the time. He was intoxicated and killed another person. So he has now been sentenced to 50 years in prison with no parole.
This is what gets me, because we have this debate, and I know, Dougie, you're pretty passionate on one side of it. And I really, to be honest, I fluctuate a lot on this
throw
one because of cases like this. But you say throw away the key with this guy. But when we talk about drug criminals, people that are arrested for drug possession
throw
or drug using,
well, not possession.
Or alcohol consumption, I mean, these are little crimes. Most people consider them to be minor crimes. And a lot of people who are after prison reform say, let these guys out. They shouldn't be in prison.
Yes.
But when you have the stories like this, where they're happening over and over and over again.
If you're a repeat offender and people get hurt, if nobody's hurt, I don't think you go to jail. If you've hurt somebody else by your lack of control, your lack of ability to do the right thing, if you can't control you're in charge of you. If you drink so much that you're out of control, if you do drugs to the point where you can't control yourself and you do harm to other people, you go to jail.
But I think that's the hard part. The first story we talked about is a guy who's been arrested a ton of times and he's never injured someone. But what do you do? Wait until they kill someone?
He does.
That's the problem. Yeah.
Right.
That's what they do.
I mean, if someone's doing it 50 times and they've just lucked out that they haven't hurt anybody yet, they still have a chronic problem, obviously.
Yeah. Right. So what
I think we all know people, sorry, Dougie, but I think we all know, especially Cara, Victoria and I, probably people in their 20s as they get older who make it, you know, who make a mistake. They miscalculate what they think they've had. I mean, gosh, I've probably done it and it's not a good thing to do, but they get caught and okay, so it's one time you feel bad and you're very careful from that time on,
right.
Especially if you get busted for a DUI. You're very, yeah. I mean,
well, you'd be responsible.
I know someone who, who's super responsible now because of that.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, you know, you kind of learn from that mistake.
I don't think we have disagreement here, Jennifer.
Right.
I think we all understand
But people that don't change, it's tough.
And by the way, on top of this, there are plenty of these stories that are applied to illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
And these people are getting away with literally murder as well. And nobody understands why. Why are we giving these people favorable treatment, frankly? It's something to be reckoned with. It really is something for us all. This is part of the debate. We ought to be having a lot of debates with our national and regional candidates, congressional candidates, senatorial candidates, gubernatorial candidates, presidential candidates of all of these issues. Another issue today, the Justice Department findings on what goes on in the Baltimore Police Department and what goes on in the city of Baltimore. It's disgusting. And everybody knew it, and everybody's known it. I worked in Baltimore, 30 years ago, and it was a horrible place then because of the white crime, and that's what it is, white police officers and their criminal activity against blacks. Are there blacks that are guilty of really horrible stuff? Of course there are. There are plenty of black criminals, and there are blacks who take it out on whites. But when you're a police officer, you're supposed to have a different standard. Crooks have one standard, police officers a different standard, and yet they all seem to be in the same barrel. So I don't have much stock in much of what has come out of the Justice Department in this administration. But under the circumstances, you see there was another shoot 'em up last night in Ferguson. You look at all of these places that are hotspots, and nothing's being done to fix it. Oh, we're going to fix everything in Ferguson. Nothing's been fixed. They put in a new police chief. He's just as bad as the last one. They don't have
so much
new...
of it is about messaging now, too.
Yes.
I mean, that's what I would love to see President Obama do in his last few months in office, is say, wow, we have a really divided problem. Here's why it's not that bad. Look at me. I'm a success story. Create success stories that give people hope, because when hope is gone, then they do feel, you know, blacks in cities across America feel that there's this burden there. And I feel
there
hope is gone for those groups.
Yeah, there is. It's outrageous. The kinds of things. And why do you have that attitude? Why do you not like black people just because they're black? Why do black people not like white people just because they're white? Why do you not like somebody because of a particular religion? You don't know what that person's real values are. You may know that he or she is this, but does it mean because some people in the name of that religion do something that's outrageous that everybody who belongs to that religion is the same? No. Thinking people don't think that way.
Right.
So, you know, I guess that's...
But not enough people are thinking people. That's the problem.
Ooh, that sounds arrogant.
They're not. No, they're not. I mean, they're just not.
I agree with you.
It's not arrogance. It's just reality.
Yep, right. 16 past the hour.
Think green. Harrison with you. With gas prices hitting $4 a gallon, millions of American parents are still stuck driving their children to and from school, followed by back-to-back activities. Now the old-fashioned notion of carpooling has picked up renewed steam again. But today, coordinating carpool schedules, pickup times, and last-minute schedule changes have become logistical nightmares. Enter Divide the Ride, a carpooling website that automatically organizes carpools between families for free. It creates carpool schedules between trusting families, then emails and texts everybody. Even sends email reminders. You can save on expensive gas and emissions. It's all at DivideTheRide.com. From the Greeniverse, this is Harrison.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Where Are They Now? With Ahmad Rashad.
This center Iceman was the 1996 Stanley Cup Playoff MVP, the 2001 NHL MVP, and the 2002 Olympic Hockey MVP and gold medalist.
Sackett gets a Sackett shot. He scores! Overtime game winner, Joe Sackett.
So where is Joe Sakic now? Joe hung up his skates in 2009. He then took 2 years to spend with his family before returning to the Avalanche as an executive advisor in the front office. Joe also represents the team at Board of Governors meetings. In 2012, he received the highest honor of them all.
Had a chance to play 20 years. I played on some great teams. Got to lift the Stanley Cup twice. But with all that said, there's absolutely no better honor than being inducted here into the Hockey Hall of Fame tonight.
Joe Sakic, leaving his mark on history. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So what will you stand in line for? When was the last time you played the waiting game? Why did you wait so long? Here's the social science of it. It's a funny thing, waiting. It can never be completely obliterated, only reduced. First off, you'll wait on the person who has what you want. Next, you'll wait when you think it's an investment. And the longer you wait, the more you'll believe it's worth it. That's technically referred to as cognitive dissonance. We know we're wasting time, but our brain manufactures reasons why it's worth it. What's the cheap psychological trick? Waiting is inevitable, but don't be tricked by it. Just like you should pick your battles, pick those things you wait for. Make sure it's cost-effective, and then it's worth the wait. So do you have a question? I'd love to hear from you. Send it to me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Five. Oh, I'm back. We're all back. 17 after the hour. There's a research project that is being discussed today that may not be good news for twins. It seems that the research found the twins have substantially lower IQs in the main than their single siblings.
Because they have to split the brain cells.
10,000 children. Say what?
They have to split the brain cells.
You think that's what it is?
No.
Let's see here. The conclusion is that at least part of the explanation lies in the reduced prenatal growth and shorter gestation period that's typical of twins.
So it's kind of exactly what Jen just said.
It is.
I guess I got it right, huh?
It sounded way harsh, Ty, but she was actually totally right.
Researchers identified a representative sample of children attending primary school in the 60s. The children were routinely given written tests for mental skills. The ages of 7 and 9, researchers then extracted age standardization IQ results from the test. There were 10,000 single people tested and 8,600 twins. The twins were all usually born smaller and earlier in gestation, and the twins had age 7 had an IQ average 6 points lower than those of their single brother and sisters in the same family, which I found interesting. The sex of the siblings, mother's age, father's social class, also was part of that. And I guess that would become, the environment. You know how I am always talking about we are what our environment is?
And that's true.
And I think that's what this is all about, in a sense, or at least part of it anyway, is how they are growing up. How much challenge do they have? How much support do they have? How much can they look at their parents and see a good example of whatever it is in life that they aspire to? Are they doing a good job in their lives of being parents, being good workers, being good friends? I mean, it's all about that, isn't it? I mean, we're good friends. We set a good example for people because we're all good friends. We respect the essence of, what we are, all of us. What are we? We're good. We're good people, and it shows. And I think that's very sweet, isn't it? That's all.
Very sweet.
Kumbaya.
Touching my bra strap. Okay.
Excuse me?
You said our friendship shows. I said that's
21, never mind. Go get some cupping done. 21 after the hour.